We want to welcome everyone on this December 23rd, 2018, 2 days before Christmas. And we're going to look at a message I've entitled, Christmas Has a Name. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 1, and we'll look at verses 18 through 21. And as we do that, if you're listening by the website, we're going to be doing a message in song and in verse today. So there'll be times I will break away when the music is being played. But it is good to see everyone this Christmas. The Sunday before Christmas, once a year, the whole world stops. Now, they stop for different reasons, but they stop. Everybody gets off. Everyone's allowed to have a time the way they want to spend it. And so we want to look at the scripture today in Matthew chapter 1 and see what the true meaning of Christmas is, what the name of Christmas is. And in Matthew chapter 1 verse 18, the scripture says this, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this way. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Joseph was going to put her away under the Jewish law, and he didn't want to make a public spectacle of her, so he would put her away private. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary your wife, for that child which is conceived in her is of the action miraculously of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, Yeshua, our Savior, and he shall save his people from their sins." Let's go to the Lord. Father, as I come today, I thank you for this wonderful, wonderful reflective time. And may the world stop and look to you. Father, we're going to stop and look to you right now. So I ask for forgiveness of daily sin and weekly sin. And I pray for an anointing of your spirit, body, soul, and spirit to be used of you. Father, I must decrease and you must increase. And we praise your holy name for the truth of your word. So Holy Spirit, please lead us now and let your spirit speak to our hearts. And those that are listening by the website, let them and all of us know that you love us. That's why you came. For God so loved the world, he sent his son, and his son came to save us. We praise you, Lord Jesus. Amen. All right, that's the name of Christmas. Jesus is the name of Christmas. And what a privilege it is for me to say that name, the Lord Jesus. I call on the Lord Jesus. You know, in the last 2,000 years, I would not be able to count, if I had eternity probably, how many times humanity, people on the face of this earth, all over the world, have cried out in desperation to that one name, "Help me, Lord Jesus. Save me, Lord Jesus. Heal me, Lord Jesus." Yeah. And you know, as we come here today, there are many folks that are going to meet in churches all over the world. And they'll meet on Christmas Eve all over the world. And there'll be folks that are going to uplift the name of Jesus. They're going to sing about Jesus. But you know, my friend, for a lot of folks, they're not going to give Jesus a second thought. So it's all in who you are as to what you named Christmas. I could say to many folks on the street corner, you know, what is Christmas to you? Oh, Christmas is family. Christmas is a feast and getting together and a wonderful time. And folks would even say, well, Christmas is all about being off work and football games. And you know, and it is. It's all of those things. And all those things are enjoyable. And I've taken part of them all of my life. But in the Christmas carol, Ebenezer Scrooge is working till 7 o'clock on Christmas Eve, and his nephew Fred comes in to invite him to Christmas dinner. And he goes, "Uncle, I want you to come to Christmas dinner. We're going to have a wonderful time, and it's going to be merry and joyful." And Scrooge says, "I'm not coming." I don't like Christmas. But the actual quote is, as Fred continues to badger him, he looks at Fred and he goes, look, I'll keep Christmas my way, and you keep Christmas your way. And you know what Fred said? He said, Uncle, you don't keep Christmas at all. You don't keep Christmas at all. And so we've got to understand, there are billions of people on the face of the earth today. And they're going to keep Christmas their way. And you're going to keep Christmas your way. And I'm going to keep Christmas my way. Yeah. And Charles Schulz led us into that classic line when, out of frustration with the materialism and the lack of cooperation in the play, Charlie Brown says, can anybody tell me what Christmas is all about? And Lina says, I can tell you what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. And he reads Luke chapter 2. But I want you to notice something about Christmas here when it comes to this name. In Matthew chapter 1, she says this, She shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1. It's not only that Jesus came, it's why he came. And some folks are not even going to think about this. And in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, Paul's giving his testimony, and he said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for he counted me faithful and put me into the ministry. And before he put me into the ministry, the day he called me into the ministry, I was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. I murdered Christians. I hunted them down. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying. Verse 15 is all about Christmas. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So Christmas is not about just the name of the baby being the Son of God, Jesus. It's not just about Jesus coming into the world to save sinners. It's really about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, coming into the world to save me. To save sinners, of whom I am chief. And that's what Christmas is all about. We know what Judy just played. Mary, did you know? Mary, when you kiss the face of your baby, you've kissed the face of God. We know the personal name of God. Jesus. I'm on a first name basis with God. Lord Jesus, help me. There'll be a lot of folks that'll give God just a few moments this Christmas season. And you know what? They call him the man upstairs. You ever heard somebody say that? Yeah. Well, guess what? That's not biblical. Christmas is about Jesus. I'm going to ask Richard to come. He's going to share a song that he wrote, I believe, in 1972. And the title of the song is Jesus, Sweet Jesus. And you know, Lehman, that's how I say it a lot of times. That's how Richard said, Sweet Lord Jesus, help me today. And I just want to praise God that we not only celebrate Christmas, we know Christmas. Christmas is a personal, intimate relationship with my best friend, with my Lord and Savior, with the Son of God, and His name is Jesus. What a powerful, powerful message. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you know, it's just like Richard sang in that song. You just cry out to Jesus. Brother Leo, how do I get saved? You say, Lord Jesus, I need you to save me. And if you're wondering how to get saved, you already know you need to be saved. So you're there. And you cry out to the Lord Jesus. I want you to turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 3. And we know that in the beginning was the Word in John chapter 1, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And all things were created by the Word, and there was nothing not created by Him. And then John tells us that the Word, Jesus, became flesh at Bethlehem. He came into the world. And as we saw a few moments ago, He came into the world to save me. He came into the world to save sinners. This is our Christmas. This is your Christmas. Yeah. Christmas is about your Savior, your Lord, your Jesus. Yeah. But you say, Brother Leo, why did He come? And He sums that up when He's speaking to Nicodemus. And in verse 12 of John chapter 3, He says this, I have told you earthly things and you believe not. How will you believe me if I tell you of heavenly things? Because no man hath ever ascended up to heaven. Yeah. And no man can. But I am He that came down from heaven, the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Yeah. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, the Son of Man's going to be lifted up on that cross. Jesus came down to heaven to save us, but there's another way to say it. Jesus came down to heaven to get us. To save us and to get us, because guess what? We can't get up there to Him. There aren't any good works that I can climb that ladder. There aren't any religions I can join. There aren't any people I can compare myself to. At this time of the year, folks will say, I'm not going to church Sunday because that's the Sunday all the hypocrites show up. And I want you to understand something, my dear friend. There's always going to be hypocrites in the church. There's always going to be false teachers. Matter of fact, as soon as the church started 2,000 years ago, Paul had to warn against false teachers. And then at the first church in Jerusalem, a married couple actually stood up and said, you know, we just sold a piece of property and we're giving 100% of it to God's ministry here in Jerusalem. And you know what happened? The Spirit of God struck them dead. And you say, well, why did the Spirit of God strike them dead? Well, they held back part of the money. So they struck them dead for holding back part of the money? No, they struck them dead for lying about it. All they had to say was, hey, I just sold a piece of property and I want to give some of the money to the Lord's ministry. So don't ever worry about what other people are doing when it comes to God. Because this same Jesus, every one of us, we're going to appear just before Him. One on one. But Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Now in John 3:16 it says, For God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son into the world, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. In Ephesians 2 verse 8 says, For by grace are you saved through faith. It is the gift of God. It is the Christmas gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Folks always want the perfect Christmas. They want to give the perfect gift, the perfect weather, the perfect family situation. Well, there's only one perfect at Christmas, and that's Jesus. And He is the perfect gift. And so Paul says in his letter to the Corinthians, thanks be to God for this unspeakable gift. So as Miss Betty comes up to give thanks unto God today, I want you to do something. When people ask you next week, what'd you get for Christmas? Say, I got God's gift. I got God's gift 20 years ago, or I got God's gift 15 years ago, or I got God's gift when I was 12. I got Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. What's the greatest gift you ever got for Christmas? Well, I got a pony, or I got a horse, or I got a set of drums, or I got a shotgun. No, the greatest gift is Jesus Christ. So thanks be to God. I looked up that word unspeakable. In the Greek, it means impossible to describe or express. I can tell you as best I can what it means to be a child of God. I can tell you as best I can what it means to have Jesus as my Savior, my Lord, my very best friend. But I cannot adequately describe to you just how wonderful it is. Salvation by grace through our faith. Thanks be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Jesus knows what we need. And the lessons learned as we ask Him to provide certain things, and it seems like He's staying His hand from us, but He's not. He's bringing us to where He can bless us. His name is Jesus. Christmas has a name. And then in Matthew chapter 1, the angel goes on to say, in verse 23, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is, "God's presence is with us." In that first Christmas, Jesus left heaven, and His presence came down here to earth to save humanity. But go with me to John 17. And in John 17, you see again the purpose of Christ coming. And we call it salvation, and we call it being saved. And one day we're going to go to heaven. But I want to share with you some of these verses. In John 17, verse 1, Jesus says, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify you." And in verse 6, He says, "I have shown my name unto men. Those that you gave me out of the world, they were thine, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known all things whatsoever you have given me. For I have given unto them the words which you gave me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from heaven and came from thee. And they have believed that you did send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which you have given unto me, for they are thine." In verse 11, "And now I am no more in the world. I am leaving, but these are in the world. And I'm coming back to you, Holy Father. Keep them and watch over them in your name, those that you have given me, that they may be one as we are one." And in verse 24, He says this, "Father, I will that they also whom you have given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you gave me. For thou loved me before the foundation of the world, that they may be with me where I am." You see, that's Jesus' desire. Emmanuel means God with us. God wants to be with you. He wants you to experience His presence every day at the moment of salvation, and then one day in heaven for eternity. God wants to be with me. You know, that's a wonderful thing. You know, a lot of times you can go through high school, or you can go through college, or you can be older, and you can fall in love with a person, and then you can come to a realization they don't want to be with you anymore. And that's heartbreaking. And they'll say that to you. "I don't want to be with you anymore." I want to praise the Lord that God says, "I will be with you even unto the ends of the world." The Creator God, the perfect love of God. I want you to be with me in a personal relationship. Go with me to John 14 and look at what He says. He says, "I'm leaving the earth. But let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you can be also." People say all the time, "What's Christmas all about?" Well, Christmas is about God coming to earth. Christmas is about the shepherds. Christmas is about the wise men. My friend, Christmas is about God coming to be with us. He came to get us. He came to take possession of us. What did He tell the Father? "You have given them unto me." He came to have a personal relationship of intimacy with us. In John 14, verse 17, he says, "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, and my presence shall be in you." I want to show you one more in Revelation. We see Emmanuel one more time. In Luke and in Matthew, we see Emmanuel, God with us here on earth. And then in Revelation chapter 21, the scripture says this. In verse 1, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them.'" There's Emmanuel again. He came the first time so that we could be with him for all time. "And I will be their God, and I'll wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for all the former things are passed away." Leo, I'm going to be with you forever. Leo, I'm with you now, and I'm going to be with you forever. You know, a lot of folks get concerned when they don't get to spend Christmas with certain people. You know, sometimes people tell me, "This is the first time ever I'm not spending Christmas with my mom. This is the first time ever I'm not spending Christmas with my grandparents. This is the first time ever my children and grandchildren aren't spending Christmas with us." But you know, there are a lot of folks out there that never spend Christmas with Jesus. Amen. You know, in Luke chapter 2, the scripture says, Mary wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for Jesus in the inn. There are a lot of folks that live their lives, and they're good people. And there are folks listening all over America today and all over the world. And you may be one of those folks that has not made room in your life for God. You've not made room in your life for the Lord. And I don't know what's holding you back. There may be a lot of different things. But the bottom line is, if you receive Jesus into your life, he changes your life for the manifold better. In my 34, 35 years of ministry, I've not met anyone yet that regretted finding Jesus personally as their Lord and Savior. The name of Christmas, Jesus and Emmanuel. As Lehman comes, let's focus on making room for the Lord this Christmas. And if you're a child of God, I hope you've not gotten so busy that you haven't done something special for the Lord. We were here Wednesday night, and a couple of Wednesdays ago, and two of the ladies in the church told Patty they were reading a chapter a day in Luke, because there's 24 chapters. Others have told me they were doing special devotionals for God during this season. I hope the child of God has time for the Lord this Christmas season. Matthew and Luke have given us the first two names of Jesus, but if you will, go with me to Isaiah chapter 9. As we are here today, simply because of who you are, Lord Jesus, and we get all of these names given to us throughout the scripture, and he is every one of them and more. He's Emmanuel, God is with us, he is the Savior. But in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, Isaiah says, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. And on the millennial, and even through eternity, he will sit upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom to order it, establish it, keep it in judgment and justice and truth forever and ever and ever. So he is the great and mighty God, and he is the great King. And as we continue to look at the names of Jesus, in Luke chapter 1, verse 30, the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever and ever. And there shall be no end of his kingdom. And he shall be called the Son of the Highest." And the Hebrew writer tells us that he is the Son of God in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of the personality of God, he upholds all things by the word of his power. And he has by himself, there is no other name under heaven by which a man can be saved, he has purged our sins and sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. I don't know what you call God. There are many folks all over the world that have different names for God. There are many folks that worship false gods. They have names for them. As we assemble today with the whole world, we worship the true and living God. And his name is Jesus. And I call him many things. He's my Redeemer, my Lord, my Savior. I say to him all the time, "You have purchased me with your own blood. I am part of the blood-bought redeemed. You are my authority and my Lord. I am no longer my own. You are my King. You are my Comforter, my Provider, my Protector, my Coverer. You are my Forgiver and Mercy Giver. You are my Healer." I say that many times a day. You're my Healer. You're my Health Giver. And I pray that for Patty and Kylie and Daniel, that he is their Coverer, their Protector, their Redeemer. You are the Giver of every good gift in my life. When I think about my family, I think about that. And so I have all these titles, all these names, all these descriptions for my Lord Jesus. But I am here and you are here today. Simply because of who he is. Tony and Sandra are going to come and they're going to share a song with us. But we want to praise God. Christmas has a name. We praise God you have been with us today on this 23rd of December with the Wayne County Bible Center. And I want to share with you a closing thought from a devotional that belongs to Patty that I've been reading during this Christmas season. And it is entitled "A Spark and a Promise." And in John 16, Jesus says, "For the Father himself loves you. He loves you because you have loved me and you have believed that I came to earth from God. I came from the Father and I have come into the world. And now I am leaving the world and I'm going back to the Father. But I've told you all these things that in a personal relationship with me, you may have peace. Because in this world you are going to have tribulation. But take heart. Whatever you face, I have overcome the world." William Law, an 18th century theologian, said, "When therefore the first spark of a desire after God arises in your soul, cherish it with all the care you have. Give all your heart to this desire. It is nothing less than a touch of the divine hand of God. He is trying to draw you out of the vanity of life into his riches of eternity. Get up, move, therefore, and follow this desire as gladly as the wise men of the East followed the star from heaven that appeared to them. It will do for you the same thing that the star did for them. It will lead you to the birth of Jesus, but not in a stable in Bethlehem, but the birth of Jesus in the center of your heart. When you first invite the spark of Christ's light into your soul, nourish it, pursue it, chase after it. Never let that spark die out, but let it flame within you. Jesus came, he died, he rose again to show us all of eternal life, all of eternal love, and all of eternal peace here on earth, but even more for you for all eternity. We're still here for a while to do His will, to obey Him, to grow closer to Him, to love others, to lead others to Him. But Jesus gave us this promise: you will see me again, and you will see me face to face, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will ever take that joy from you. Love came down at Christmas with a spark of light for us all and a magnificent promise. While we wait for God's purposes to be fulfilled every day, remember to keep Christmas every day in your heart, and remember to keep it well. Yeah. That's what Ebenezer said. He said, "Fred, I'm going to keep Christmas my way, and you keep Christmas your way." And Fred said, "Dear Uncle, you don't keep Christmas at all." I want you to understand, we need to pray for many, many folks today that don't keep Christmas at all. But if you are a child of God, it's up to us to make sure the world sees that Christmas has a name, and His name is Jesus. Before we go, let's sing one more song, Tony. I know y'all got another one. So Tony's going to come up, our musicians are going to play, and we're going to sing one more as we close out. So I'm going to ask everyone to stand, and let's sing unto the Lord.